This is the Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast, covering everything from technology and gaming
to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Hi, I'm the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne. Today, we'll be discussing the rise of gun sales in Europe. In the past, Europeans have looked at Americans in an unfavorable light due to some of us exercising our right to bear arms. However, reports have been coming out in Europe that due to the increased migration, gun sales are on the rise. Our friend Alan Gutleb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, was recently in Europe, and he joins us to give us insight on what's going on over there.
Thanks for joining me, Alan.
My pleasure.
For those who don't have a grasp of what the Second Amendment is, could you just explain it a little bit?
Well, the Second Amendment is the clause now in our Bill of Rights that gives us the right to keep and bear arms. And the U.S. Supreme Court in two Supreme Court cases has ruled that it's an individual right and that it's basically centered around the right of self-defense.
This is a pretty old amendment. Do you think it's outdated?
No, I don't think it's outdated at all. If people do think it's outdated, I think the way to handle this is to try to amend the Constitution. But otherwise, it's a provision of our Bill of Rights that is really important, and I don't think you can ignore one part of the Bill of Rights and expect the rest of the document to stand.
Why did you start the Second Amendment Foundation?
Well, I started it back in 1974 because there was a lack of knowledge, information, and historical concepts of what the Second Amendment was about and where the philosophy of it came from. And so we started doing research and getting articles published and holding scholars conferences to help educate the public.
Are there people who may argue that, you know, we should just let the police do their job instead of buying a gun? Do you believe that?
Well, I'm all for letting the police do their job. The problem we have is they're not usually there when the crime is committed. They get there afterwards to file a crime report and then to try and track down who perpetrated the crime. So when it really comes to defending oneself, one's family, one's property, you're the whole first line of self-defense.
But isn't buying a gun a little extreme? Is there other ways to protect yourself?
There are other ways to protect yourself, but there's no doubt that a firearm is probably the most effective way, and statistics and data show that. In the United States, depending on which survey you look at, anywhere between 800,000 up to 2 million people a year use a firearm to protect themselves, their family, and their property from criminal attack. That's an awful lot of people that are alive today because they had a firearm.
All right. You know, that's true. I mean, there are instances where it seems like a gun was the reason why someone may have survived. I know in Europe and the UK that it's kind of hard to buy a gun. Why is it so hard to buy a gun in Europe?
Well, in Europe, they pretty much don't have a Second Amendment to start with, so there's no right to keep and bear arms in Europe, in any country there. And historically, politicians in Europe have moved to disarm the populace. And so gun ownership is very difficult in Europe and nowhere near as prevalent as it is in the United States. That, however, is changing right now.
Why is it changing?
Well, we're seeing record gun sales in most European countries that allow firearms possession. As an example, in Austria right now, where it's estimated to be about 800,000 legally owned firearms, recently 70,000 sold, and they virtually can't get a firearm on the shelves in gun stores right now. It's being fueled a lot by the migration from a lot of immigrants coming in from Middle Eastern countries, which are raising crime problems there. Rape statistics are going through the roof in Europe, and people are realizing that if you don't have a firearm, you can't protect yourself. And so we're seeing an awful lot of first-time gun buyers in European countries where you're allowed to own particularly long arms, rifles, and shotguns. And the amazing thing is that most of the buyers are women.
You know what? It's funny because my producer was the one who introduced me to a lot of those articles about all the guns being bought in Austria, especially. But I haven't heard too much about the crimes being reported. I mean, why is that?
Well, the crimes are just starting to get being reported in Europe. And one of the problems is the police forces there right now are being overwhelmed by, you know, million immigrants that are coming in, migrating into Europe. You don't know what their criminal backgrounds are or records. They're just, you know, coming across the open borders. Crime is running rampant, and people in Europe are running scared. They want to protect themselves and their families and property from becoming victimized. And so all of a sudden, these guns are just flying off the shelves.
You know, it's kind of scary for me because it's I think to myself, all these people, they're probably first-time gun owners. I mean, isn't that something to have a little concern about?
Yeah, I mean, it's an awful lot of first-time gun owners, in some of these European countries. And some of these gun owners have not had, good training yet. So that is could be a potential problem. But obviously, given the choice of being an unarmed victim or having a chance to defend oneself, people are choosing the means to defend themselves. I'm assuming a lot of these people will now start to go out and get training. My understanding is that training classes are pretty full and booked up right now because there's so many first-time buyers, particularly in countries like Austria.
Here in America, or the United States, I should say, really, we have, people are always saying, oh, we need more gun controls. We need more gun controls. But my thing has always been that criminals never buy their guns legally. So how does gun control really help?
Well, that's a very good point. One of the problems we have is criminals are called criminals because they break the law. And somehow we're always being told in this country that if we pass one more gun control law, somehow criminals won't get their hands on a gun. Well, it hasn't worked in the past, and I think the American public knows it isn't going to work in the future because criminals break laws.
Exactly. Speaking about the United States, particularly here in Chicago, we've had... They cut the police force maybe 2 years ago, and it seems like the crime has risen. And you don't hear it in the big news places like, ABC, WGN, but you read about it in blogs and the police blotters. And I've always wondered, is the cops are the reason they're supposed to protect us and why we shouldn't have guns? In instances like where the police are overwhelmed, like in Austria, or the police force been cut, do you think people should go out and buy a gun?
Well, I think buying a gun is an individual decision that one has to make on their own. I just think they should have the right to make the decision on their own and have the freedom of choice. There's no doubt that during the recession that we've gone through, a lot of budgets have been cut and police departments have become smaller and can't respond as quickly. That, of course, is alarming and one of the reasons why gun sales in the United States have also skyrocketed. Now we're seeing it happen in Europe, but it did happen here first.
Yeah, I remember reading a bunch of articles and looking at the comments, particularly from ones from Europe, the UK, and they always made fun of us. Like, oh, you guys, you always go to your guns. You always go to your guns. You should do something else. And, now they're dealing with what we've been dealing with for a very long time. Is that people who won't be stopped with a simple conversation.
Yeah, I just returned from Brussels, Belgium for an international gun rights conference with the International Association for the Protection of Civilian Arms Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And in Europe in the past, when people talk about, gun rights, you'd only talk about it in the context of sporting purposes, hunting and target shooting. Now they're talking about it in the context of self-defense. All of a sudden, self-defense has become legitimate words in Europe. And all of a sudden they're realizing that, hey, people in America, have a way of protecting themselves. And all of a sudden, now that we have a need here, we don't.
Yeah, it gets kind of scary when people, you really can't talk to them. Because I know here in Chicago, there are people who will just run up to you with a stun gun and they'll zap you and steal your purse. So I can imagine it's something like that over there.
Well, in Chicago, we just had a case where a person now who has a permit to carry a concealed firearm for self-protection helped stop a crime in progress and made a lot of national press. In Illinois, up until recently, one was not allowed to have a permit to carry a firearm for self-protection. It was the Second Amendment Foundation suit in court that overturned that law, and now people can carry. And as a result, we're now seeing cases in Chicago and Illinois where people are stopping criminals in the commission of a crime because they have a way of doing it.
Is that what you kind of want to do for the rest of the United States, where everybody can carry an arm and potentially stop, not, be a vigilante, but to have a way to defend themselves?
Again, carrying a firearm for self-protection is an individual decision. I just think the person should have the right to make that decision, and cities, counties, and states shouldn't say to you that you don't have a right to do so. It's your life, and protecting your life is a very important thing, having the means to do so. You can't do it without the means, and so I don't like governments saying that you don't have a right to do that. I mean, it's your life, it's your liberty. You're the only one who can really protect yourself. When a crime is being committed upon you, there's no one else there to protect you besides yourself.
You know, that's a very good point. And, you know, this is a question, you know, not only for myself, but for other people out there. I've been interested in buying a gun myself, but I really don't know what kind of particular gun to buy. You know, I've never really shot one. When I was younger, I did, and it was my uncle's hunting rifle. So what kind of gun would a novice buy?
I never recommend what kind of gun a person should buy because, you know, one size doesn't fit all. Mm. What I always suggest is a person should go to a gun store where there's a range where they rent firearms. And one should try various different firearms to see which ones, you know, feel better in your hand with somebody there who may be an instructor who can help instruct you if you're not a gun owner previously. And therefore, after you fire, half a dozen different handguns, as an example, then you might find this one I feel a whole lot more comfortable with than another one. So I don't like to pick for somebody. I think they need to do it themselves. And a great way to do it, again, is to go to a gun store where there's a range where you can test various firearms first before you buy.
Thank you, Alan, again for joining me and giving myself as well as my listeners insight on the European gun sales. For more information about the Second Amendment Foundation, visit saf.org. That's saf.org. You can also follow Alan on Twitter at 2AFDN. That's 2AFDN. And like him at Facebook at Second Amendment Foundation. That's all one word.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait to hear more?
Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com.
That's masonverapayne.com.
Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.